ladies and gentlemen, this here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your electrical engineering hostess, as always, Amelia Dalton. And this week, folks, I've got Mems on the brain. Maybe it's because I'm still punch drunk from last week's Mems Executive Congress, or maybe I just love me some Mems. It's probably both, actually. Well, this week we're filling in the missing pieces in the puzzle that is MEMS enhanced devices. Last week we talked all about how MEMS enhanced devices are changing how we interact with our tennis rackets, beer kegs, video games, and even football games. You know, the important stuff. But this week, we're going past the world of CE to a land where the power budgets are tight, where the bombs are tighter, and the number of sensors reach the millions. Yep, we're talking about MEMS in the machine. The medical machine, that is. This week, my guest is Rick Russell, president of Merit Sensor Systems. Rick is here to introduce us to a whole new world of pressure sensors, explain why they have their own wafer fab, and map out where the MEMS market is headed in the future. Thank you so much for joining me today, Rick.
Thank you, Amelia.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, what do you guys do?
Merit Sensors is a vertically integrated MEMS pressure sensor company, been around since 1991. We actually only produce MEMS pressure sensors, so we do have our own 4-inch wafer fab. It's located on the same campus as Merit Medical, our parent company. It's a publicly traded company, which consists of about 3,000 employees, about $450 million in sales. That was the original purpose of Merit Sensor, was to actually produce pressure sensors for its parent company. But because we do have a 4-inch wafer fab on the campus, we utilize the free capacity to sell to other industries, such as automotive and industrial.
Excellent. So I recently read something about an LP sensor. Now, tell me more about that and what kind of applications this kind of sensor is best suited for.
We've always wanted to introduce a low-pressure sensor, which is in the 10 millibar range. And we know that the players in that market are very few, and it's a very tough market to be in. So we introduced our LP series platform primarily to go after two main areas. One is medical, like breathing apparatus type equipment, and the other is building automation, such as this room where you have large AC ductworks and moving air around to keep the rooms cool. And that's very low pressure. So that's the main purpose of bringing out this product.
And then on the other side, you guys have got a TR series sensor. Now, how does that differ from the LP sensor you just mentioned?
The TR series was actually developed for an automotive platform. It's designed for direct media contact, in other words, like fuel or oil or transmission fluid. So we've been in production with this part for about maybe just over a year now. But it's really starting to get some headway and start to find its way into more automotive applications. But it's not limited to that. We can actually tailor it to many different applications. But it is a harsh media, meaning it's backside pressure. So we do expect whoever's using it, they can use it with dry media or wet media, because the dye itself, the pressure sensor dye, is actually eutectically soldered to the substrate.
Excellent. Now, Rick, let's look into our crystal ball here. Where do you think the MEMS market is headed in the future, and what does that mean for Merit in particular?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, especially being here at the MEMS Executive Conference. What I hear is the Internet of Things. We as a company are not really interested in the consumer market, because you hear that the trillion sensors is going to drive the prices down to pennies. We like to make money in this market, so we do sense that there's going to be a few on the high volume MEMS producers and supplying to the iPhones and to the auto industry. And then there's going to be another set of few companies that still exist for the industrial and the auto industry, more strategic, more, I would like to say, those that need flexibility. And that's kind of where we fit in. We like the tens of thousands to several millions. And like I said, it is about making money in this market, but at the same time, we see that there's a lot of data being collected from all these sensors, the wearables, and so on. And the companies in the future, I believe, are going to be the ones that actually take this data and crunch it and build software around it.
All right, Rick, let's talk a little bit more about healthcare in particular. Now, you guys have a BP sensor. Now, I'm assuming that's healthcare related. Tell me more about that.
Merit Sensor was actually founded by Merit Medical. It was a publicly traded disposable medical, I shouldn't say company, but let's say they produce disposable products. And one of the main purpose of the first product that they actually introduced was an angioplasty inflation device. So we actually produced a pressure sensor component, not a die, but actually a sensor component for that particular product. Later, the parent company decided to get into disposable blood pressure, which is the BP series. We introduced a blood pressure sensor, which we sell in very high volume. It's kind of a commodity market. It's one of the fewer commodities that we make. It is the largest single-used medical sensor in the world. Blood pressure has been around for a long time, 30 years. You have other large competitors in this space, but we've seen our volumes in this business double over the last few years.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about something that may raise your blood pressure. Now, your off-the-cuff question for you, Rick, skiing. Now, I know you like to ski. You're from Utah. Where is the best place in the whole world, including Utah, I guess, that you've gone skiing?
Well, I think I'm going to refrain from telling you the best place because that's a secret to most local Utahans. But if you want to come to Utah and follow the beaten path, the other 6 million skiers, I mean, everybody ends up at Snowbird.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rick.
Thank you, Amelia.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Keeping with our medical theme this week, let's battle obesity and issues with overeating. I, too, have been prey to the late-night snackathon, the multiple trips to the buffet when one was probably just enough, and on Fish Fry, we're always looking for that next big MEMS-enhanced device that will save us from ourselves. So, a couple years ago, I reported on the Happy Fork. You know, the electronic fork that buzzes or lights up when it thinks you're eating too fast, and counts the number of bites you take, and can track your average mealtime. You see, folks, there is an intrinsic problem with this here Happy Fork. What if poor old Happy Fork isn't in your back pocket when it's time for that late-night trip to Jack in the Box? What to do? What to do? Never fear, BitBite is here. What is BitBite? Well, BitBite is actually a MEMS-enhanced earpiece that captures the sounds of you eating. Yes, really. These sounds are recorded, sent via Bluetooth to the BitBite cloud, and then your corresponding smartphone app, of course, which then uses a series of algorithms to analyze said chewy information to map out how fast and how often you're eating, and give you real-time feedback. Oh, great. Oh, and of course, what food monitoring system would be complete without voice recognition, right? You can, with BitBite, tell yourself out loud what you're eating, and BitBite will provide you with a whole slew of nutritional reports in its app. So just in case you were thinking your lunchroom couldn't get any weirder, bring on the BitBite. If you're chomping at the bit for a little BitBite action of your own, well then, okay, you might have to wait a little longer. Right now, they have raised only about $20,000 toward their Indiegogo campaign goal of $60,000. But if you want to take a little BitBite bait, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. It'll take you directly there. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus as well. We also have a YouTube channel that is full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 14th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.